You know, in all the languages that I've studied, I've never met it, never encountered a language as difficult, as exasperating, as frustrating, as exciting, as exacting, as brilliant. Any accolade I could give it, as detailed, as precise, and as wonderful for crystallizing the specific thoughts among many as the Ethiopic, as maybe the world's greatest scholar, a German, Dillman, says in one of his long expositions, and it's like he stops with a wow. Someone of superior intelligence, a brilliant group or race of people, created this language. And that's why I was frustrated at the end. I started speeding up and even called it Coptic once when I changed boards. I wrote all that on the board and I wanted to pull it apart. I mean, every one of those letters, those little squigglies, until I pointed it out, you probably wouldn't notice that the letter that is the equivalent of Aleph, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, but it's not the first letter of the Ethiopic. I've told you sometimes how you pronounce Aleph. So, like you're going to say something, suck in your breath, don't let it even come out as I just did. It has no sound. You have to add a vowel to give it its sound. And it's like Orit, little squiggly down on the right, makes it have with an O attached, the O vowel. All the letters have seven different ways to write them. You probably noticed a few times that letter at the end of a word that looks like a big capital C. Well, that's an R with the vowel sound of either no vowel to end a syllable or E pronounced as F. And when you look at Ori, it looks like a little thing. If it goes straight, it's Ra. Same letter, R. It's got a little curl on the bottom of it. It's Re, or I. Every single letter, a total of 210 letters for the alphabet, 210 different ways of writing the letters. And there are cases that tell you how nouns relate to other words in the sentence. The cases are dependent upon the vowel on the last letter. If it's causative as a verb, which if I've been able to break apart the word for righteousness, the first two letters, A and S, with the vowels attached to them, this silent equivalent of Aleph, has an A sound, really an A sound, and the S has an A sound, Asa, but it blends by the other vowels that follow into the T, and the T tells you it's reflexive, so you got three letters that tell you it's causative and reflexive, and gender is based upon the consonant at the end of the word. And if you're going to have a construct which gives you your genitive case, common to all Semitic languages of two nouns or a chain of nouns with nothing in between, that force you to have the definite article. Like, you don't really say in their language the love of God, you say the love of the God. The definite article is put in. That's based upon a consonant that starts the chain. Every connection is there. It's like the little conjunction in the first word tells you, much like the word gar in the Greek, translated for, which is the key to much of Paul's logic in the Greek, because he reasons backwards to our way of thinking. Instead of stating the premise, if this, then that, he states the that, and then with the word gar, he tells you the if, and explains what went before. Same with the Ethiopic. But then they add another letter that tells you that what follows is by contrast with what went before. And having stated by contrast, then thus or therefore follows. The precision to one who's trying to get to what Paul actually said. And if Bishop Brian Walton, who did the polyglot, is correct, we're dealing with translations most akin to the apostolic age and so precise. And remarkably, though it writes from left to right and has those letters that are foreign to anything I know, in its grammar and syntax, it's closer, and much of its vocabulary, closer to the Arabic than any other language. But you write Arabic from right to left, and the Ethiopic, you wouldn't think they were third cousins, much less coming from a common ancient root. I hope you'll be there next Sunday as I pull apart this verse, and I hope you caught the little brief reference, not being enslaved by. Not being enslaved by. There's nothing wrong with keeping the Ten Commandments. If you can do it, and if we want to grade by percentage, you're more godlike than the guy that throws them out the window. But it's like being pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not. You're not partially pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not. You're either righteous or you're not. You can keep the law better than anybody since Adam. Now, he didn't do very good keeping the little law he had only one. And like most law, it focuses on, don't do this. There's only one law in the garden. It was a Torah because it came from God. It was divine orders. Don't eat of that tree. That's the only law he had, man. That's pretty easy, isn't it? And then he got the whole garden and God to talk to me every day and tell me what to do. But that no-no tree suddenly was the most desired tree in the garden. And look in the mirror, folks. Human nature hasn't changed. And I will say what Paul said. Most Stoics, and certainly the Platonic idealists, strove and sought after principles that in the realm of ethics, and as we would define morality horizontally between people, as Paul said earlier in this book, they outperformed many of the Jews who had the law. And I didn't point out this morning that definite article the law is not in the Greek that I quoted, which just simply says nomos, nomu. Are you a better person trying to live by the law that God gave? Sure you are. If you can be a better person, go to hell. It doesn't make you righteous, because you can be better than anybody on earth, but if you're short, or ever have been short, of the perfection that the law forced into your nature, coerced upon you, sought after yourself. Oh, you can read Psalm 19, and the second half of it is a love affair with the Torah. And a host of synonyms are used. You can love the law. Commit yourself as best you can. There were Pharisees that Paul was one of them. And by the time Paul came along, they kept trying to modify the law down to their performance. We're not talking about ethics. Like my reference about adultery or rape. Rape's worse than adultery. But we better not forget they're both bad. If you've ever been cheated on in a genuine love or marriage relationship, I mean, we're talking about victims, and some nice attitude doesn't give. I want to know who the name of this woman is in the Kobe Bryant affair. She's of age. Why are they protecting her name? She's not a victim until the courts prove her a victim. Maybe Kobe's the victim. I mean, I've been sexually harassed by women all my life. I have emotional scars so deep, it's a miracle I can sit here and smile. I mean, which is worse, being hit with a hammer or carved up with a razor blade? I don't know who she is. And then I hear a report in a newspaper that she drug overdosed on one news channel. And then the next newscaster tries to clean it up and says she overdosed on pills. I mean, you know, what fair is fair. Now, basically, I think the one word can describe Kobe Bryant: stupid. That's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Did he let himself be alone in a room with any woman? That's just plain stupid. Unless you want to commit your life to them, but don't ever get caught in a room alone with a woman. And we hear people like Hacksaw talking on the sports channel. No is no at any time in the process. Well, maybe he said no, and she wouldn't let him out. Am I going to tell you I've been in that position? No, that's not the harassment. That's not the harassment I'm talking about. What I'm telling you is I'm not vetoing law and ethics, and of all ethics of mankind, I do not believe there's ever been an ethical system derived from any source better than the ethical system that we derived from the Torah. I'm not, and the gospel's not, preaching, declaring, or recommending. Abandonment of character measured by an approximation or percentage, betterment of human being. I'm even going to say that when you become a Christian, and as the response of God to give you a dose of His own nature, implanting in you, regenerating a new life within, which is the born-again experience, which is a gift from God to those who respond to the new Torah, faithing, which is more than belief, it will still be an approximation. It will still be a process. And you will not be perfect until the God of peace sanctifies us, which is to separate the old nature from the new completely and set the new free into eternity. The God of peace will accomplish that finally and completely over there. In the meantime, the implant of God's Spirit is a gift of faith, which can be maintained only as you keep faithing, not as you keep working to try to show you're different. Starts a warfare that Galatians calls, using a term out of Greek warfare, it's like trench warfare, between the old man that needs to die and is dying, and the new man. And that new man in you, as the New Testament says, that which is born of the Spirit doesn't mean you in your totality, but that part of you that is the new life that is regenerated in you cannot sin. But it can't righteously express itself without time for the fruit to develop, the fruit of the Spirit versus the desires of the flesh. And the warfare will be won by the Spirit if you can keep the Spirit in you. And the Hebrews letter says you remain the house of God with the Spirit dwelling in you as you keep doing the same thing that got Him in, faith. I'm not abandoning ethics. I just know it won't take you to heaven. I'm not against good deeds. They just won't take you to heaven. Only the new life maintained in you takes you to heaven. That's a gift. And only faith and continuous faithing keeps the new life in you. That's why it's so important that the message of faith come through the facade of hypocritical Christianity, and it be recognized that all of our righteousness, our doings, are filthy rags. You need a new life within, which can only be received, is only given, and only maintained. It's a living person. It only stays in you as you keep faithing. And as I pull these other translations together, you will see they all say the same thing. It doesn't bring any of the old law in. A chasm separates the works of the law as a contract of salvation from the contract that is the law of faith. That's what the message is about. I hope you got something out of it. If you did, I want you to tell me. I want you to get on the phone, and I'd like the reservations to start pouring in for next Sunday at the cathedral. Will you do it right now? Now I want to address my congregants. What's the matter with you people? Old habits die hard. For years, we have been on Channel 56 here in Los Angeles. 20 years, until this year, always on Sunday afternoon from 2 to 4:30. And this place would be full of voices of faith. Now we're on every night from 10 to 11, and on Sundays we're on from 7 to 11, 4 hours. And sometime during that 4 hours, we will be doing a festival, usually live. Now, what do I have to say to you as my congregants and voices of faith to wake you up? I have to have the voices of faith here on Sunday night. That is the most important time for you to be here. And you're not working on Sunday, most of you, so why in the world am I having to continue to say to you, the congregants that I have faithfully taught all these years, God owns 10% of your time, and you better allocate some of it to Sunday night. Every other church has Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, activities all week. Will it make you righteous to come in here and answer the phones? Well, if you're a true voice of faith, it contributes. But if you don't wake up and get in here, your pastor's going to backslide. I'm going to lose it here one of these nights. And there are people that watch to see me lose it. I'm going to substitute my congregants for the bureaucrats and beat on this monkey band until you get in here to man these phones. Now get up out of your lazy chair and get out of whatever you're in and make your commitments to Sunday night voice of faith duty. Now I want to talk to the rest of you. If you got anything out of the message you want to know, I'm sorry that, you know, I've got about a half voice of faith crew tonight. So if the phone rings 7 times and it doesn't answer, then dial again, because the rotary's not always the same, and you'll get a phone somewhere else. I don't much like it that I'm seeing people pick up phones and lay them down. Learn to write with your toes and two phones, one on each ear. But if they lay the phone down on you, just hang up and dial again. I'm not wanting you to call and have to sit there while a phone's laid down on the counter because we don't have enough people to answer all the calls. Just harass them, folks. Keep dialing. And when they lay you down, I call places. I call my attorney's office once in a while. He has some new secretary. The old ones know better. But there'll be some new secretary. And depending on which attorney firm, it could be. Nancy and Vito, will you hold? And I'm cousin there. No, I won't hold, but she's gone. And when I reach old Ed Masry, my friend, and tell him that he's got some dimwit down on the phone, better figure out who I am and let me tell her who I am before she says, will you hold? Don't you do that voice of faith. Don't say, will you hold, and hang up on them. And put them out down there and let them wait. I'll give them a license to cuss. But better just say, okay, they laid this phone down. It's busy now. I'll hang my phone up and dial again. I want your calls, but I'm wanting my congregants to get in here so you can take the calls. What better expression of faith on Sunday night than believing that the teaching of the Word is going to reach lives around the world, and you're hanging your body in some action and faith that if you're here, you can have a contribution part in what we're doing. You're the most spoiled congregation in the world. For 29 years, I've given the congregants in this town 24 hours access on multiple medium. Now get in here and pay your debts of simple character and reciprocity. Forget the righteousness bit. Just be decent enough as congregants to understand that you've been getting all this poured out to you when other places of the world would give anything to have the access you have. And you can't get in here on Sunday night to answer these phones when we have made this major expansion on Channel 56. Try to get as much time on any station in this town as we have. Everything's syndicated. And we're anchored there from 10 to 11 every night, and 4 hours on Sunday night, and you can't get in here and answer these phones. I'm about to come through this phone and pull off of you whatever you're using right now that kept you from getting in here to answer these phones. Now, pull it out and get in here. Or squeeze them out and get in here. Now, get on the telephone. Let me tell you about coming to the cathedral. You shouldn't come if you haven't listened to a service on TV so you know what goes on. Not your ordinary church. You can't just walk in. You've got to make a reservation and get a pass. And we need the reservations by Wednesday noon so we have time to mail you a pass. I mean, there's no racial profiling, no Christian interrogatories. I say send all the sinners in town. You're just coming to a college-level teaching session on what God's Word says, as best I can use all the research and manuscripts to determine. You'll see the greatest Bible collection of Bible manuscripts and 56 or 7 different stations of the book ever assembled in private hands. There may be matching collections on a particular kind, like there is a collection of Armenian manuscripts in private hands here in America that I could not touch. But I have one of the earliest Armenian Bibles printed. That's not our focus. Our focus is the development and history from its earliest roots to the American Bible through the English language when it turned the corner with Tyndale. You can spend a year and not read all the write-ups and look at the manuscripts. Your family will get a total education in how we got our Bible. We have nursery care up to 2 years old, and the kids from 2 to 12, the pastor, I want them to know I'm doing it so they understand that I'm not afraid to have their minds opened up. The pastor sends the kids from 2 to 12 on air-conditioned buses to one of the many museums within 15 to 20 minutes of the cathedral. We're in the heart of downtown, a few blocks east of Staples Center. You exit on 9th off of the 110. It's a one-way street. You go down to Broadway and turn right in the middle of the block. The cathedral that you see all the time is on the right, and across the street is our parking lot. There's our people tend the parking lot and take care of you, and it's free. So your cars are in safe hands. Walk across the street and show your pass and come in the cathedral. I just want intelligent people that want to learn. I don't check out your religious profile. I don't care whether you're a Baptist, a Mormon, a Buddhist, a Muslim, or just a sinner. I don't care if you're atheist or an agnostic. As long as you understand I'm teaching, you're a guest in my class, and you'll sit still and listen and look like you're interested. But I'll spot you if you don't. And the kids cannot come in until they're 12. I want them to understand it's a privilege to come in the cathedral. And I can tell you some of the teenagers understand what I'm teaching better than their parents do. I don't talk down to you. It's, well, you need to watch. If you just watch, that's what we do. If, you know, there are kids that are 3 or 4 that have never been separated from their parents, well, then one of you go with them on the bus the first time until they feel secure. There's adult supervision, and we've done it for so many years. The museums are always prepared to take care of our group. And the bus leaves at 11, comes back at 1, and you can sit in the service and not be distracted. The kids from 12 until they're of age or are married are going to sit with their parents. Not discussable. I'm about teaching respect. They're going to sit and honor their parents, but sitting with their parents. I don't have teenage problems in my church. I don't raise your kids. I teach parents to raise kids the right way. I got a PhD minor from Stanford in educational psychology. It's all a bunch of bunk. Never met a psychologist in my life that didn't start out trying to solve his own problems. Never succeeded. In spite of the fact that this generation is raising kids that call 911 and threaten their parents with it. God put that padding on the rear end for a reason. You spare the rod and spoil the child. You just need to start early enough they don't know how to dial 911. I don't believe in child abuse. I do believe in teaching respect. I'm telling you, don't give me this modern yuppie child development baloney. If I feed them, their D's are under my table. I'm the fair boss in that home. I've told you many times, you need to draw a circle or put a rug in the middle of the floor while they're still 1 or 2 years old and tell them, don't you ever get on that rug. And then after you tell them that, you need to go sit down on the rug. And if they say, well, why are you there and I can't go there? Because I'm me and you're you. Well, why can't I go there? Because I said you couldn't go there. End of speech. Quit reasoning with these little imps. They're cute. But they come into this life. Seed of Adam. Me, me, me. The whole world revolves around them. Oh, they're cute. Never as cute as you think they are, but they're cute. You out of both ends and try to put everything in their mouth. I still like Bill Cosby, who sat there and breathed with his wife, and finally she said, I want morphine. And then he said to her, I hate to tell you this, honey, but you just gave birth to a lizard. It takes a little while for him to. Then they get real cute. I got a picture of me sitting on my parents' lap. Man, I was a cute baby. Now look at me now. But I was taught respect. That's what this is all about. I'm doing a favor to the kids. Don't bring any juvenile delinquents to go on the bus either. If the kids can't behave, I ain't going to. It's your kid. I don't discipline your kid. We just have a chase car, take them home, and you and the kid can go home. Is that clear enough?
Yes, sir.
I'm not out here hunting friends. I'm looking for people with brains and intelligence that want to learn about God's Word. That's why this church exists. I don't give you any social life. You don't want a bunch of freaks that I have to provide their social life. I don't believe Jesus needed some men's fellowship to find companionship. They call him a wine bibber and a glutton, so he must have partaken of his food and his wine with. He must have been good company. And I think he's really smart because he'd seek out the biggest sinner in town to go to lunch with. I mean, I hate going to lunch with Christians, and then they look around and then they stand up and pray for 30 minutes over the food so that they can try to convert the restaurant with their prayer. I learned when I was in Bible school before I got enough sense, or the dean did, says, you know, we don't need you here. You're taking 16 units and auditing another 16 of junior and senior classes. You're wasting your time. You're getting straight A's. Go to college. All I got out of it was the beginning of Greek. But my Lord, I learned in Bible school, they didn't feed very much. I lived there. So while everybody else was praying an hour over their food, and including all the missionaries on five continents, I was eating their desserts. We have a real church, real people. That's all I want, real people. I don't want any self-satisfied redneck legalists. They're okay. I can't teach them anything. They're busy saving the world and making everybody in their shape. None of them have any right to condemn Kobe Bryant, because most of them are doing it anyway in secret. I worry about them fundamentalists, but all they can do is that. You come because you want to learn. I take from 2 to 12 to the museum. You can go with them, one of you. And we have buses every Sunday. I don't talk enough about this. We have buses. Plus the fact I got a birthday coming up on August 10th. My birthday is the 14th. My anniversary of marriage is the 13th. I ain't dumb. Never any danger I forget the anniversary. It's the day before my birthday. And August 10th is the Sunday before my birthday, and that's just going to be a party time. I'll teach a message, but it won't be my usual hour-long teaching session. And I think that my friends ought to be there to celebrate birthday. But we have buses. Listen to this and write it down. And if you miss it, call the Voice of Faith, and they've got it in front of them, and they can tell you. Every Sunday we have a bus from Buena Park. The departure time is 10 a.m. You may not want to drive in the traffic, so ride a fancy air-conditioned bus, free. The pickup location is Washington Mutual parking lot on Beach Boulevard at La Palma. I'm going to repeat it. The pickup location in Buena Park, many of you in Orange County can drive to this place and then ride the bus. Washington Mutual parking lot on Beach Boulevard at La Palma. You still need to make your reservations. If the bus is reserved over its capacity, we'll send two buses. Washington Mutual parking lot on Beach Boulevard at La Palma. Hemet, and the pickup time in Buena Park is 10 a.m. You got to get up earlier in Hemet. The pickup time is 8:40 or 20 minutes to 9. The pickup location is California Federal parking lot on Sanderson at Florida. I repeat, California Federal parking lot on Sanderson at Florida, 8:40 a.m. And Riverside, the pickup time is 9:40, 20 to 10. The pickup location is Bank of America parking lot on University at Chicago. I'll repeat, Bank of America parking lot on University at Chicago, 9:40 a.m. in Riverside, 8:40 a.m. at Hemet, 10 a.m. at Buena Park. The buses arrive by 11 o'clock. And the same buses are used to take the kids to the museum. Comes back at 1, you're reunited with your family, and the buses take you back. Now don't try getting a free ride downtown to shop around and not come to the cathedral, because I'll catch you and you'll be walking home. My mama didn't raise any dumb kids. I want serious people that want to be taught. That's been the purpose of this church for the last 29 years. I didn't want a pastor. And when I came to town, I said, I'm not going to build a church like every other church that you can find in the Yellow Pages. I'm trained to teach at a university, so I turned the camera into a university and the cathedral into my classroom. And here are the students, and the people have been listening for 29 years. I could add up the hours. They got more units than if they'd gone to Dallas Theological Seminary. I'm serious about teaching God's Word. I only want serious students. In fact, if I were doing what I was trained to do and teaching, I'd be a tenured professor by now if I was teaching at a major university, probably Stanford. You wouldn't even get to talk to me or hear me teach until you were graduate students. I might do one lecture somewhere, most of the time be my assistant doctoral candidates. So I'm serious about teaching. And I only want serious students. Now, if you're looking for fun and games, go to another church. If you're looking for somebody to take care of your kids other than what I've just told you, go to another church. If you're looking for a youth program, go to another church. I got a good youth program. In fact, I wish I brought a letter tonight that I got from a kid who told me when he was just a child, he had terrible nightmares and he couldn't sleep. And the parents left me on all 24 hours in the home, and he'd sit up and sit on the floor, even though I couldn't understand what I was saying then. Something would calm him. Then he got old enough to begin to listen. And now he's a budding young adult that's been taught through most of his life. We're a teaching church, and I'm a teaching pastor. And that's all I'm about. And you're the live audience as the teaching goes live around the world, and thus you receive the credit, along with me, of lives that have been affected by the teaching. That's what this church is about. You want to be a part of it? Make your reservation now. I make it my business to not identify people who call, because they have many friends. They don't want their friends to know that they're watching for fear their friends will think they've gone religious or something. And then eventually it leaks out and they find their friends watching too. But one old friend that doesn't mind to be identified, he comes periodically and sits on the front seat. In fact, he and I collaborated on a play that I still intend to do something with one of these days, Jumping at the Oval Office. The Frankie Ray. Frankie Ray wrote the movie The Doberman Gang. He's been a fixture in Hollywood for years as a writer. Used to be a stand-up comic down in New Orleans. He sends me these gems all the time, but this is sort of funny. This is Frankie Ray calling. When you told that joke, if you had had that cigar with you, they would have thought you were George Burns. Well, he's still going strong with that cigar at 104, wasn't he?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to beat him. I'm going to beat him. Frankie says, I thought I was the joke teller, but your timing was great. I don't even know what joke I told. P.S., you're singing, you're telling jokes, I guess the next thing is rap. Not Gene Scott. No, Frankie, not Gene Scott. Then we got first-time callers. Sure, I'm happy to hear you teaching. I used to hear you this San Diego, K-Doc. Listening on a UHF antenna down in San Diego. Sure, I'm happy to hear you teaching. Used to hear your teaching 20 years ago on Malachi and the Pyramids. That's still playing around the network over the 24-hour. You can get the schedule of the programming off the internet, drgenescott.com. Been listening for about 6 months. Happy to hear. I want to know again. Okay. San Diego, another one. I was just watching this program, and I saw the number scroll over the screen, and so I'm calling. I just want to say what a great program this is. Moreno Valley. I'd like to be on your mailing list and would like reservations for next week. First-time caller. I hope there's a lot more of you. Make reservations for August 10th, for my birthday. Also, I want you there next Sunday, but August 10th is one special. Marietta, California. I think your wife is so beautiful. So do I. And you are so, and I ain't going to tell you why. Get on the telephone. No more calls for a few minutes. I need you to go over here, John. I want to show a little more of this monumental. I don't think you know how rare. You can see it wherever the voice of faith are. I have two of these. This is the rarest Rutherford copy, much sought after. But the London Polyglot is one of three of the great polyglots. The polyglot means parallel columns in many different languages. One of the greatest original sources of Scripture is Origen's Hexapla, which is a polyglot. 3rd century. The London polyglot, the Complutensian polyglot, actually was completed before the first complete Greek Bible, the Aldine. And we have an original Aldine down in the room of the book at the cathedral. As Constantinople fell and manuscripts moved west, not just Bible manuscripts, many manuscripts, the West burst open with the Renaissance and the Reformation when those manuscripts reached the West. Erasmus produced the Greek New Testament and assembled the best copies available of the Septuagint, translated from the Hebrew to the Greek, 3rd to 1st century B.C. And he was using, at the earliest 9th and mostly 10th century, Greek manuscripts to produce his Erasmus Greek. But he assembled and raced to the press to beat what was the Complutensian polyglot that was put together, that had access to documents from the Vatican, and they would not allow the Complutensian polyglot to be published until the documents were returned to the Vatican. Erasmus was smart. He knew if he was the first and beat the Complutensian, there were advantages to that. So he raced the Aldine to the press, and it actually was the first one published, but the Complutensian was finished first but wasn't published. After the Aldine, the Complutensian polyglot came out. Then the great Amsterdam polyglot, and the Paris polyglot, and the London polyglot. Those are the great ones. This, as I looked at the pictures earlier, it wasn't adequately displayed in my judgment, so I want to see if I can find the passage I'm talking with in Romans. This is Romans. I'll tell you when, John, to bring the camera in close. I'm in Romans. This is my working copy. I don't put this one on display. It's the more valuable one. It's going to be a lot more valuable when I get done making notes all through it. But we have, it's a 6-volume set, and we have them at various places in the various stations of the book. One is in the polyglot exhibit in the room of the book, as I said this morning. Another is in the Syriac collection outside the room of the book, opened so you can see the Syriac. Here is chapter 1 of Romans. You can come on right now. I'll find a pencil here. Okay, you can get the camera where my pencil goes, John. Try to find the opening of Romans. Now, on this side, you have the Greek. And above the Greek, interlinear, is a literal translation in Hebrew. This is the Greek. Underneath is the Syriac version, with the Syriac, which reads from right to left, and a translation from the Syriac into the Latin. Up here, the Greek is essentially word for word, interlinear in Latin. This is not just the Vulgate, where my pencil is now. Find it, there you are. This is not just the Vulgate of chapter 1. This is a literal Latin translation from the Syriac, but it's not word for word. It's an attempt to translate it into Latin, as I'll translate some of these into English. Underneath that is the Ethiopic. But they're strange alphabetical figures. As I said, 210 different forms. For example, if you look at this word right here, if you can. That's the Aleph. If there's three little strokes up here on this tail, it's pronounced Ah. I mean, if there's two little strokes. If there's three, it's pronounced Eh. This is the T. With that little stroke on the bottom of it, it's T-I. On this side, we have the Vulgate, Jerome's and successor translators. Jerome's Vulgate, the standard text of the Middle Ages. Under that is Arabic. Can you get that? Turn it up so you can get a better picture, John. This is Arabic. And to the right of it, the Latin translation of the Arabic. Not a translation that matches the Vulgate. And down here, the Ethiopic continues with the Latin. You may have to go to my right shoulder, John. Come back to me and that's fine. You're doing fine. Walk around. That's chapter 1. Now I'm teaching now from chapter 3. I have many polyglots. I go to different polyglots to get other languages. I have other manuscripts of singles of these various languages. Here's chapter 3. Now, for example, we're teaching. These are delicate, they're old, aged papers. We're teaching right now in this section of the Syriac. And I mark that off as that was written on the board a couple of weeks ago. This is Ethiopic. The yellow is the 21st verse. And where we were this morning is right here. Ya-azi. See the little circle? Can you get close enough to see the little circle down there like an O on the bottom of that, what looks like an H in English? That's the letter for Z. And the little circle is Z-I. That's the letter for S. That's the letter for K. And the little circle is K in that case. Ya-azake. Or Ya-azake. And put in English letters, A-S-T-R. That A sound, Y-ya. And because of that little symbol at the top, it ends a syllable. So, Asteriyat. Which is, it's reflexive, it means that the righteousness of God has manifested itself. It's causative and reflexive, and feminine, by the way. That ought to make you feel good, you ladies. Now, there are certain sections that are different. For example, the Ethiopic, the only thing he had available was the Psalms and the New Testament. There are certain sections that in this polyglot he has Persian, the Chaldee. Scholarship like this is not done except in universities, and the tragedy is that most of the universities are liberal, do not believe in miracle, and they will twist the scriptures accordingly. But if you think this is amazing, with all these languages and the scholarship that Brian Walton had to do with his prologue and the introduction that's written in Latin, well, you see this. You have to be careful because these are eminently rare. They lay on my desk, and when I start to study, I'll usually photograph or make copies of the pages so that I'm not working directly most of the time from these manuscripts. But with all the different languages that's in this polyglot, you go with the English Bible, you have a concordance, or you can go to lexicons, and if you got a word, you can trace it, its use throughout the Bible. He developed this two-volume set as a concordance and lexicon in all the languages to all the verses in the six volumes and the use of the various words. Now, let me show you what kind of scholarship's involved. This is the Heptaglotton, lexicon Heptaglotton, Hebrew, Chaldean, Syriac, Samaritan, because they only believe the Torah is limited to Genesis through Deuteronomy. Their language is different. So in those books, he includes the Samaritan, the Pentateuch, Ethiopic, Arabic, and a separate volume deals with the Persian, which essentially has the same, almost the same alphabet as the Arabic, but different. Now, in this, with his introduction, take a picture of that. You've got to read the Latin to get through his introduction, then the preface. I mean, now people spend their time studying science and seeking to help mankind, and I don't fault that. But thanks to the liberalization and the materialization of the current generation, the greatest brains in the world are not focused on biblical research, which is a great tragedy. Look at this. All the different alphabets. The Coptic, I've not dealt much with the Coptic yet, but it has two separate alphabets for the Boharic. Boharic is what rules in the Coptic church today. I saw on the news a local Coptic church was conducting a service in Santa Monica after the tragedy down there in the market. Boharic took over as the religious language. Boharic is the geographically Upper Egypt. Sahidic was the primary dialect with a different, not a different vocabulary, but not a different alphabet, but a different vocabulary in many respects, just like we use essentially the same alphabet for French, Italian, English, Spanish, but it's a different language. Look at this. There's your Arabic alphabet. There's your Persian alphabet. You'll see they're very similar. The verbs, the accents, the grammar, and parallel columns of all these different languages. Doesn't that fascinate you?
Yes, sir.
Look at this. So I'm telling you, This is just a little piece of what comes out of my library. I've got a complete Bible, 7 volumes in the Boharic and 5 volumes in the Sahidic of the Coptic language, which I have not dealt with, but is critical to New Testament studies. Mark founded the church in Alexandria, dragged to death in the streets of Alexandria. Apostolic foundations. Out of Alexandria came some of the greatest scriptorium producers of Bibles, of which the Alexandrinus is one. The earliest Christians in that land, the general population, is like the Armenian. They were able to read the scriptures before they had an alphabet of their own, because Greek was the language after Alexander the Great of that whole empire. And Greek was to that world, for the educated people, what English is to the world today. And likewise at Alexandria, the greatest library ever built was at Alexandria, destroyed by the wooden-headed rednecks of the Middle Ages. People ask me why I conducted the final telethon that raised the money and was on the Blue Ribbon Committee to restore the books when the library burned downtown. I said, ignorant churchmen have been too busy destroying libraries. I'm not afraid of knowledge. You don't have to park your brain when you go to the church. I felt that cultural heritage at the center of Los Angeles needed to be saved. But the educated in Egypt who spoke Greek also wanted the gospel to go to the general population, which at New Testament times early on was Sahidic as the language of the day, and Boharic then became the religious language. But all of these languages lead you into the earliest translations. Look at this. This is just the grammar part. So this is the grammar part. Piece of cake. Then you go, this one starts with the Arabic, and you find the words. This section, which starts with this green marker here, Persian and Arabic words dominate here, and you look up the word, and it will refer you to the passage, just like any other lexicon or concordance. And at every word, starting with the Arab or Persian word, it's got the synonyms of the other languages. You go to the next section. This is the lexicon for the Hebrew, Chaldean, Syrian, Samaritan, Ethiopic, and Arabic. This one was the Persian. These are samples of the treasures we have on display at the various stations of the book, because I want you and your family to understand how we got our Bible and not be hoodwinked with somebody that's taking some text out of context and telling you Paul said. And the one I laugh about the most is they'll tell you in the book of Daniel that the Hebrew says this, and they're in the 4th chapter. And Daniel, in our Bible, the Old Testament, that section of Daniel was written in Aramaic. It wasn't written in Hebrew. So they tell you what the Hebrew says. It wasn't written in Hebrew. I'm trying to make you a smart congregation about the Word of God. And I hope you appreciate it. Now, get back on the phone, make your reservation. Come and see us. You know, I like to read the messages from our capital, Washington, D.C. Now, I keep calling. I need about another 300 reservations. You can call and listen. Chew gum and walk at the same time. Laurel, Maryland, how do I get a copy of this message on tape, please? Watching this morning. I'd also like the pulpit. How do I order the tape? I want to go on record. I very much enjoyed this message. Girard's, West Virginia, watching on Channel 5 in Washington, D.C. I used to watch him 20, 25 years ago. This guy always astounded me and inspired me years ago to do studying on my own. Good. I'm taping this now. This man was a great influence in my life. He needs to stay on. I'm so glad to find him here on TV. How long has he been on? Is he on the internet? Yes. I'm going to watch next week, too. Good. Waynesboro, Virginia. We're really enjoying this program. He's really awesome. I saw him a long time ago when we lived in the San Fernando Valley. He used to wear funny hats and smoked a cigar. Please keep him on TV here. Baltimore, Maryland. I was on 24 hours a day in those days. I mean, the play was on. People couldn't tell when it was live and when it was a rerun. So every time I was live, I'd wear a different hat. If you hadn't seen the hat, you knew you hadn't seen the program. Baltimore, Maryland. I'm calling from Maryland. I've seen parts of this show 3 weeks in a row. It's very deep for me, but I'm getting it. Thinking for me for the show. Prince George, Maryland. My name is... You're not calling. You're interested in what the Capitol's saying, too. They're talking about something other than Bush's 15 words. My name is, Mr. Gives it to me. I'm enjoying this show. I've seen it once before, but now that I know it's on every week, I'll get up early to watch. I don't know any Hebrew, but I'm going to get me a Hebrew Bible. Better get a polyglot so I can follow along and learn. I see many people there with him learning. This is just wonderful. Please send me a list of his tapes. I've never seen anything like this before. Silver Springs, Maryland. It was a very, very powerful message. I don't usually watch television this early, but happened to have it on and saw Dr. Scott. I enjoyed the message. This is the kind of teaching needed, explaining the Bible. Waynesboro, Virginia. I've been watching this for 3 weeks now, and today did it. This is real. What a teacher. Please send me the pulpit in Washington, D.C. Can I get a copy of this teaching? It's just amazing. Does he come on cable TV? No, but I'm on satellite 24 hours a day and on the internet. Go to the home page. There's a couple of entry markers there you can hit. And if you're hooked up to surf the internet, you can watch us 24 hours a day, picture and sound. This is the first time I tuned to him. I was channel surfing. Are there any other times he comes on out here? Shortwave, satellite, GE3, transponder 20. And when is my congregation going to wake up? You can spend about $500 and get yourself a small dish, 1 meter dish, there's no zoning restrictions, and we're there on the KU band 24 hours a day. Baltimore, we appreciate the programming. He's a very brilliant man. He's providing this country with a great message for these days. Thank him for his teaching. Salisbury, Maryland, I switched him on a while ago, and I'm awfully glad I did. He's wonderful. I've never heard of him, but I intend to be listening to him from now on. Washington, D.C., I enjoyed the program. This is the first time I've watched, and I'll watch again next week. In Dayton, Virginia, I'd like to get a copy of the pulpit. And on it goes from Washington, D.C. I think it's nice that we're getting that kind of response out of our capital. Don't you?
Yes, sir.
That's what you... having a part in. Now, get back on the telephone. Make your reservation for the cathedral. You know, I got to read some more of these from Washington. This is pretty funny. Here's Forestville, Maryland, watching on Channel 5. I fell asleep last night watching the news. When I woke up this morning, this man was on. What a show. Please send me whatever you can. He's writing Greek and Hebrew on that board. I'm going to keep watching. Rockville, Maryland. First time watcher, I'm just enjoying this program so much. This is fantastic. I appreciate this teaching so much. I have a doctorate in biochemistry. Many of my working associates are so grateful for this teaching. We're so grateful to hear this exposition of the word, and they thank me. Lincoln, Delaware. I'd like to get his newsletter or whatever. He's the kind of preacher I can listen to. I enjoy your teaching. I like to hear the different languages. It's sometimes hard to understand the English interpretation. Indian Head, Maryland. I'm calling to tell you I'm one of them that watches you here on Channel 5 out of Washington, D.C. I enjoy it very much. I sure get inspired. I hope to hear someone teach the gospel that is intelligent. It's hard to reach educated people, and I believe Dr. Scott is doing that. I continue to pray for Dr. Scott and his ministry. I know he had a bout with cancer, and pray he stays healed. Isn't that nice? Hyattsville, Maryland. My name is, and he gives it to me. I'm enjoying the teaching very much. Can I receive some literature? I like this now. He says, you remind me very much of my father. He was president of Washington Bible College. You remind me of me with that gray beard. I'm 70. I'm sending money. I think that's neat. That's neat. I don't want anybody sending me money until I've taught you and you're responding because of what you think the teaching is worth. It's the only money we receive. Bethesda, Maryland. You said to call. I'm calling. Your teaching is just very encouraging, deeply interesting as a study. I hope you continue. It's the best television teaching I've ever heard. Thank you very much for it. Is your program on any other time? And they told him about the internet, and shortwave, and go buy a $30, $40 shortwave radio. Get a reel up antenna and hang it out the window, and you can listen 24 hours a day. Americans don't know anything about shortwave. We have free press, so it doesn't seem necessary. And most people think that a shortwave is a bunch of big gray boxes that squawk and squeak. Shortwave radio is progress just like the rest of the electronic industry. I got a little palm-sized Sony that cost me about, I think, somewhere between $40 and $60. And a little wind-up little antenna that I can clip onto the little radio antenna. Most time, all I need is the radio antenna. No matter where I go, I can turn that shortwave on. We're on so many different frequencies, coming out of Costa Rica, coming out of Anguilla, coming out of Nashville, coming out of Dallas. You can't, coming out of Russia, coming out of wherever. You can pick us up 24 hours a day. So is your program on any other time? Yeah, 24 hours a day off GE3 transponder 20. 24 hours a day if you want to buy a KU dish. We don't sell them. But you can call any satellite installer and call the Voice of Faith, and we'll give you the key numbers you have to give him to program the receiver. $500, $600 maximum, I guess. 30-inch or 1-meter dish, 36 inches if you've got the space. Set it in your window. Set it on your motorhome. Set it anywhere. And we're there digital. KU band 24 hours a day off Telstar 6, I think it is. You can't find it by going to Telstar because this is digital, and you've got to have, like, DirecTV provide you a dish. You have to get a special dish. We have our own DirecTV. But for $500 to $600, you have no zoning restrictions if the dish is under a meter, and you can watch 24 hours a day. I got a little clicker on my TV. I can watch Dish Network. I can watch DirecTV. And then I got over here KU band, and I click it, and there I am, 24 hours a day. And I got C band, and I click it, and the big dish picks us up. Man, I can watch me all the time. Come on, get on telephone.
Scott teaches every Sunday morning in the Los Angeles University Cathedral at 933 South Broadway between 9th and Olympic in the heart of downtown Los Angeles. The service starts at 11 a.m. and passes are required. Call and make reservations to 1-800-338-3000. 3030. Also, you can listen to Dr. Scott on shortwave radio 24 hours a day. Call 1-800-338-3030 to get a list of shortwave frequencies for Dr. Scott's program. That's 1-800-338-3030.
I have a lot of people. I'm looking at the call from Dallas this morning. There was a host of calls. And I have to remind you again, we need Voices of Faith here from 2:30 in the morning, California time, because that's when we come on at 5:30 in Washington, D.C. And then we're on clear through the morning, right up to 9 o'clock. Which is 7 o'clock our time in Dallas. And we need Voices of Faith here. And then on Sunday night, I need you to shift some of your commitments from Sunday afternoon to Sunday night. We need you here. I have a lot of people saying, can I get a video of this program? I think 207 or 8, something like that, 6 or 7. Over 200 messages as I've gone verse by verse through Romans. The answer is on all the messages, yes. 29 years of them. And just ask for a list of the tapes and books. We don't sell them, but Dolores Press, a wholly owned tax-paying subsidiary, does the selling, Dolores Press. But we are producing CD-ROMs of the Roman series. You can stick it in your car slot and listen audio. But it also plays the video sound on your computer. And yes, you can get VHS tapes. Again, I don't sell them. The church doesn't sell them. The church owns a separate corporation that pays taxes, and they do the selling. We don't receive money here for anything except a response to the teaching. Don't ever mix your checks. Dolores Press is a separate corporation. And who do I make check out if I want to respond to the teaching? To me, I'm the teacher. You write it to Dr. Gene Scott. That isn't complicated. What, do you need it? No. Don't raise money because we need it. The Bible says if you're taught in the Word, koinonia is the Greek word, share with the one who taught you in all good things. Things. That's not prayer. It's things. Things like money. Checks are things. I don't want any money from anybody except those that are testifying to the value of the giving. And God says when you do that, you're sowing to the Spirit. When you share with the teacher who brought the light of the Word to you, I'm on this crusade to prove the value of teaching. I still insist if we paid teachers what we pay rock stars and athletes, this country would change in a decade. And there's no teaching on this earth as valuable as that which shines a light on the path that leads to eternity. God doesn't need our money. He speaks and the worlds are created. Giving in the Christian walk is something other than because God needs it. And it's a kind of faith expression. As you express, worship is a contraction of worth-ship. And as you say to God, you're going to believe His promise in Galatians 5, that when you sow to the Spirit, you reap a harvest eternal. You sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. You can spend your money on anything you want. Boats and houses and things that cater to the flesh will not go to eternity with you. But when you sow to the Spirit, and that passage on sowing and reaping in Galatians 6 has only one context. Let him that's taught in the Word share, mutually share, with the one who taught you. You can't express that act by giving to someone else. Doesn't matter whether I'm rich or poor. As I often say, if a parking meter teaches you, you better start sticking money in the slot. Because God's plan is you share with the one who taught you. And be not deceived. God is not mocked. Literally, God will not be scorned. What sort of man soweth, that shall he reap. You sow to the Spirit. Literally, you shall of the Spirit of life reap life everlasting. The sowing is what He just told you to do. If you're taught in the Word, share materially with the one who taught you. Share good things. If you sow the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. It'll go down with your flesh. And the Spirit of life is turned loose to reap a harvest of life eternal. That's the only kind of giving I want. Giving with dignity that is a worship statement. If you want to buy things, do it with the Lord's Press. And call, and we'll send you the book list, and it's got the address. Don't ever write a check to me or the church for what you purchase. That's a separate entity, tax-paying corporation. Unlike, and again, I don't think anybody's ever found a check that they've sent to me that I've cashed. I put it in the church. But I'm going to teach you to give to the one who teaches you. If I want to dump it in the Pacific Ocean, that's my business. What are you going to do with it? Spend it. But I'm going to put it in the church and they'll spend it. But as long as you know I don't have to, you won't rob me of my joy. No, I don't need your money. Don't worry about making me rich. I came to town that way. God blessed me for years. I'm teaching you to give worshipfully. A statement of the worth of the teaching. But yes, you can get copies on video. And I'm waiting for someone to order the 200 and some set of CD-ROMs for the whole Roman teaching. Over 200 messages, and I'm only in the 21st and 22nd verse of the third chapter. And God's going to let me live till I finish, and there's 16 chapters. And I prolong it. I went to the 23rd verse and then backed up to the 21st. Mama didn't raise any dumb boys. Now, get on the telephone. Well, where were you, Las Vegas? We've been here for 2 hours. Yeah, 4 hours. The service replayed, and then we were live for a couple hours. And I decided to stay on for the Las Vegas folks. Now, my birthday's coming up August 14th, and my anniversary is the 13th, and I'm talking to my friends in Las Vegas, because a lot of you have started watching regularly. Usually at this hour on Sunday night, we play a message from the cathedral. But we're on every Saturday night, almost all night, from 12:30 to about 5 in the morning, something like that. And a lot of friends have started watching in Las Vegas, and for my birthday Sunday, the Sunday before the 14th, the 10th, we planned a special service to bring our friends together. We have a lot of guests. It's going to be a fun time. I don't think God's a killjoy putting a stop to fun. I mean, most of the time I pack an hour to an hour and 15 minutes into teaching every Sunday. I'll do a message, but it'll be a short one. Because we have a lot of guests, and musical guests, and strangers that will surprise you, I think, that you haven't seen or heard before. And it's a special day. My wife's not telling me everything that she's planning. But I know she planned and arranged a bus from Las Vegas. And it's already full. So she scheduled a second one. And the reservations have to be in by the 23rd. That's only 3 days from now. It's like Wednesday, isn't it? You have to have your reservations in. You got to leave your phone number and address, because we got to call you and make sure you're wanting to come to the cathedral and not some broke down on your luck that lost all your money in Las Vegas and want a free trip back to L.A. I'm a nice enough guy, I might give you that free trip, but I want you to be honest with me. I mean, I'm not running buses for broke gamblers to come. I mean, I might give you the free trip to Los Angeles, but you'd be so sour-mouthed that you'd be a cloud on all the people that are coming to try to lift my spirits at the cathedral. I don't have the details of the place they're picking them up and the time. I'll try to get that as the program goes on. But you got to leave your phone number, your address, and we'll call you back to confirm the reservation and make sure that you haven't lost your money and gotten so drunk that you think you're getting I have friends in Las Vegas. I'm pleasantly surprised. They've been asking me, would I come up there and do a service? Yeah, I might. I've had enough people. I could book a room at Caesar's Palace. Paul went to Caesar's Palace. I could go there. But because of requests like that and people that have responded to the programming, my wife came up with a plan to schedule buses. The bus is free. You got to bring your own lunch. And you're going to leave awfully early in the morning, so I suggest you eat your lunch, because I'm not going to provide a refrigerator during the service. We will have, my wife said she's going to plan some room where you can store your lunch. I don't want you to sit in the service with your lunch and be tempted to eat while I'm teaching. I want your attention. Then the bus will go back. Round trip, we're providing the free bus, air-conditioned, quality bus. And if you want to come to the cathedral for that Sunday and say happy birthday to me, we'll arrange Bible tours so that you'll be able to see all the stations of the book, and the bus won't leave so soon that you won't have time to do that. There's some taco stands next door to the church and some other places that you need to get something. I'm just supplying the bus. Bring your own bottle of water. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
So this may be the last time you get to hear about that, because we're not on in Las Vegas again until the weekend. But if you're one of the friends that wanted to come to the cathedral and want to ride with others that have been listening and share your joys and tragedies together for the ride on, what is it, 15 that comes down from Las Vegas. The buses will bring you to the cathedral, and the buses will take you home. So it's now or never for that second bus if you want to make your reservations first come, first served. No, we'll be calling you back to sort out the real, you know, we're not going to profile you or ask you how many wives you've had and whether or not you're walking as a pure Christian and all of those things. We don't profile people. I don't care if I got a busload of sinners. If you just made a big hit in Las Vegas, bring the tithe. Now, get on the telephone and let me know that you, whether you're coming on the bus or coming to my birthday or not. I would like to know. I'm not live every time on Sunday night. We've already been here for 2 hours, and I'm tired, and the voices of faith are tired. But I want to stay, if you folks in Las Vegas will call, and this is a little time to find out how many people in Las Vegas really do receive something from the programming and the teaching. That's my life. And I want to know that there's sight out there to see the light. And I would like you to get on the telephone and tell me. And, of course, across the nation, around the world, anybody else that's listening, use these telephones while the music plays and I throw the number open. Before this half hour is gone, I will get the specifics on departure time, but I think it's around 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning. You know how long it takes to drive to Los Angeles, and you got to be there and be able to get out of the bus and be in your seat by 11 o'clock. So it's going to be somewhere around 4:30 or 5. I'll get the specifics. I don't know where the departure point is, but it'll be one that's clear and easy to find, and I'm sure where you can leave your cars. I mean, they got more parking in Las Vegas than they have in Los Angeles. So, and a lot of it's free. I like that about Las Vegas. So, get on the telephone. Talk to me. Now, you may be asking, can the whole family come? Yeah? Yeah? You know? But you need to understand that we have a nursery for children up to 2. And the kids from 2 to 12 will be sent on other buses, our own regular buses here, air-conditioned buses, to one of the museums. There's 40-some museums within a few minutes of the cathedral. And it's part of my teaching program to teach these kids that you don't park your brain when you come to the church, that God's not a dummy that's going to be shaken off of his throne. I don't worry about your faith. I'll teach you. I mean, I changed majors on every degree as I went through university, and my faith's okay. And it's my job to teach the basis of faith. I'm not afraid of truth. Some of the greatest museums in the world, they just spent over $50 million to expand the Children's Museum here in Los Angeles. So they're sent with adult supervisors on these buses at 11 o'clock, returning at 1. So that you can sit in the service and not be distracted. If you bring teenagers between 12 and of age or married, they got to sit with the parents. Not discussable, no choice. It's what you see on television. It's a college-level, university teaching on the Bible. Now, that particular Sunday would be more of a good time Sunday, like the anniversary. In fact, they need to find Lod Cook, the former chairman of ARCO, dancing somehow in this hour, maybe the next half hour, but they need to get it ready. Yeah, you can bring your children. No, I won't tell you where the bus picks you up. My wife just told me the plan. We don't want people just showing up. You give us a good phone number. I don't like answering machines. So sometime, and don't give us one of these phone numbers that screens the calls and won't let you through unless we give our sexual history. I want to call you back. That's the way we sort the funnies from the real. I'm not stupid. There'll be people make reservations that have no intention of coming. I'm not going to pay the bill for 2 empty buses from people that don't come if you think we're stupid. Because we're not. I don't want stupid people coming. Just give us a number. We'll tell you where we pick you up. And I got to confirm again, the bus leaves at 5 o'clock. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
The bus leaves Las Vegas at 5 o'clock. Well, and I'll say this and people won't even hear me. Well, where is it leaving from? When we have your phone number, we'll call you back and tell you. I don't want people just showing up. I want serious people. I'm Scotch in heritage. I don't pay the bill for a bus, and because it's a mileage hour such that goes past their union requirements, I got to pay 2 bus drivers. One bus driver's got to ride and do nothing. I'm paying him to sit there so that he can drive the return trip and the other guy can sit there. Now, I don't pay 2 bus drivers and a free bus. I'm doing it because of the response that's come from Las Vegas. I want you to come and see the cathedral, enjoy the service, see the Bibles, And yes, I don't expect you to leave your kids home. If you want to bring them, it's fine. Just make your reservations. Is that clear? No, I won't tell you where the bus is picking you up. You make the reservation, leave your phone number and address. We'll call you. And surely you can figure out, I don't need to play games to get you on a mailing list. People are going to come to Cathedral, probably have already asked to be on it. We don't besiege you. We don't go through the phone book or phone company and take money from you. We'll never show you pictures of our orphans and try to seize money out of your pocket. Don't want any money unless I teach you. And then after I teach you, you send what you think the teaching's worth. And do I have to be a Christian? No, send me all the sinners in town. That's why I'm in Las Vegas. A lot of sinners there. I'm not interested in self-righteous saints. I want people that are working their faith out between themselves and God. And all I do is give you the best that I can give you of what God's Word says. Then you do what you want with it. I ain't trying to convert anybody. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
And whether you're going to get on the bus or not, is anybody listening in Las Vegas and you want us to stay there or not? Get on the phone and talk to me. Well, I hear somebody in Las Vegas says, I called last week, for August 10th, someone was going to call me. I haven't been contacted yet. That's right. That's why we put the deadline the 23rd. And then we have from the 23rd to the 10th to call you and work the details out. So we haven't been calling anybody and won't until the 23rd. Is that understood?
Yes, sir.
Now, if you're making a reservation and you're going out of town after the 23rd, you should give us a number to call there. The reservations are coming in. Somebody says, if you have space, well, I got space now. Melissa rented or contracted another bus. And between now and the 23rd, if I have four buses, I'll get four buses, as long as I've got the reservations. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Now, while you're calling, I get lots of calls from Nashville. We just went on Nashville 2 weeks ago. Nashville, is that Gene Scott? I used to watch him when I had a satellite dish back in the 80s. What time does he come on here in Nashville? I just wasn't sure if it was him. I look so much younger now than I did 15 years ago, but I'm so recognizing me. Isn't that something? In Rockville, Tennessee, we used to watch him on satellite some years ago, and are glad to find him on Channel 30 here in Tennessee. Thank you, thank you. We really enjoy watching him. I sure would like a copy of today's message. What a blessing. I'm 80 years old. Didn't feel up to church this morning, and I turned the TV on and saw this man. What a wonderful blessing this message was. Isn't that nice? Carthage, Tennessee. I'd like to have a tape of this message. It's brilliant. I just turned him on this morning. I won't be missing him anymore. Nashville, how do I go about getting the tape of this program? Is Dr. Scott on here in Nashville? I wouldn't have caught the program, but I got up early to go golfing today. Sunday. Clarksville, we're really enjoying the program in Clarksville, Tennessee. Nashville, I want to thank Doc for being on Channel 30. I've watched him for 3 weeks here now. I'm glad to see him on. It's so great to see him on TV again. I used to watch him. I hope he continues every Sunday. Give me the name. I used to live in L.A. Doc, I remember you when you were, you know, a whole list of things that she remembers. I haven't seen you in years. Boom, there you were this morning. It's great seeing you again. God's been a blessing. Antioch, Tennessee. Opened my eyes and taught me so much. I used to see him in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Can I get his tapes? Bloomington Springs. I turned on the TV and there you were. I saw you 20 years ago. You had monkeys on the set. I'm glad to see you're still on. Nashville, I'm a pastor, and I listened to your program this morning before I went to preach at my church. It was a wonderful message, very uplifting, before going out to my churches. Thank you so much for being in Nashville, and God bless you. Nice, isn't it? Nice. And then more Nashville calls. Come on now. Las Vegas is the focus right now. Get on the telephone. Talk to me, please. Wait a minute. Shut that off. I want to play Merle Haggard. Since we're talking about a bus ride, he's talking about a Cadillac. He's a king's house. He comes by the cathedral every so often. This is one of his trips. I like that song, The Cadillac. You're going to ride in my Cadillac, you got to reciprocate with something. If you're going to, ride in my bus, you got to come here and sit and listen to me teach. Play that song. Now, I'm getting a good response from Las Vegas. Here, Las Vegas, watching on Channel 25. I called last week for August 10th. I'm looking forward to being there for your birthday. And here, see, there are people still up in Las Vegas. Give me the name, Las Vegas. I'd like to reconfirm one adult. I'd like to ask for another pass for a guest. Okay. Las Vegas, please call me. Reference the bus. I want to come. I'm definitely interested. Las Vegas, my reservation has been previously called in. Las Vegas, I already made my reservation. Should be exciting. I normally go to bed around 4:30. I should be up to catch the bus. We stay up to watch the teaching. Nothing better out there. Looking forward to the bus ride and celebrating your birthday. Las Vegas, we like the teaching on the program a lot. Las Vegas, I'm calling to make a reservation for August 10th for three adults to come for the special service. I'll be on the bus. Henderson, Nevada, could I come from Las Vegas to the cathedral? Yes. Can I bring a friend? Yes. I'd love to see the cathedral. That's smart. I was flipping channels this morning and I saw Dr. Scott. Welcome to the cathedral, Las Vegas. I just found Dr. Scott about a year ago. Yeah, I want him to stay on here. Already made a reservation for the bus. Las Vegas, I'd like to come if you have space. We do right now. Las Vegas, I'd like a reservation for one adult to the service. Las Vegas, hi, Dr. Scott. My name is, and gives it to me. I already have a reservation on the bus for your birthday. I recently moved to Vegas from Hemet, California. Come on, more. Maybe we'll need three buses. You got to move fast, though. Get on the telephone. You know, Las Vegas didn't hear today's message. But I was so frustrated at the end of the message because I wrote that verse in Ethiopic, which is so rich in meaning on the board. And I couldn't, the message was over before I could use it. I want to show you the notes I wrote to pull apart every single letter of that passage. Man, I worked hard. I said, my people need to hear this morning, and I couldn't do any of it. And knowing me, by the time next Sunday comes, I'll do something further. But I will be able to pull some of that apart next Sunday. So while we're talking to Las Vegas, those of you still watching here in Los Angeles, and it's later in Las Vegas, so what's the matter with you? Get on the phone and make your reservations. And there's a tendency of people across the nation, around the world, in Los Angeles, if I happen to address, as I did earlier, 56, people think, well, he doesn't want my call. I want all of you calling. I mean, you know how many hours of live TV I've done today? I do. Some of these people do. And I'm watching over there, some of these voices of faith are going on. Get them away! Get on the telephone! You know there are people watching and listening. It's 11:35. Kentucky's 3 hours away, isn't it? That means it's 2:35 in the morning, and here's Henderson, Kentucky calling. Doc, it looks like you're going to have a packed full house for your birthday. I expect there to be at least 30 or 40 more birthday celebrations like this. Here, Tom there, please. Please tell Pastor. Ah, good old Las Vegas, one of my favorite towns. That's a King's Tither, a King's House, a Webb Bam, you know, a World Band member and a Philippian Band member. And Las Vegas is one of their favorite towns. My kind of people. Honolulu, Hawaii, on the other direction. I never could say Hawaii. Always have some kind of Hawaii. 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 I'm calling to give you a shortwave report. It's loud and clear. They're picking up from Hawaii 6090 from Anguilla. Isn't that amazing? I'd like a reservation on that bus from Las Vegas. Las Vegas. I just received a seat on the bus. Gives me his name. I'm asking you to agree with me in prayer. I can get off from work on the 10th and be in the cathedral. Well, report in sick. I mean, you know, some of you, that's what I'm trying to set you free from. You know, some of you think that you've got a corner on truth. I would report in sick because you know you're sick of work. That's the truth. You need to go to the cathedral. People that are sick, they go there to get cured. Las Vegas, I'd like to make a reservation for the bus for my wife and I. Good. Las Vegas, put me down on the Las Vegas bus. I'm putting you down on the Las Vegas bus. Las Vegas, hard to get a hold of me due to work schedule. Made reservations. Well, we'll find you. I got people that work 24 hours a day here. When we start calling, we're just going to ring the... They spend more money on the phones than they do on the bus, but we'll find you. Come on now! This is not a night I'm going to teach. This is a night that we're talking to each other. And look, I sometimes forget. We were on 38. We're on 38 all night, it seems. But at least we go on now, 11 o'clock or something, 11 to 1, I think it is, on what used to be Channel 38 here in Los Angeles, has now been changed to Channel 25. Now, I don't know whether anybody can find 25 or not. So would some of you that are watching on Channel 25 call and tell me whether it's on? Because if it isn't, I'd like to get my money back. And then my wife just came here and says, don't forget about 25. And I said, are we on? She said, well, we pay the bill. So will somebody tell me if we're on 25 here in Los Angeles? Wiggle your UHF antenna and get off of your cable and find 25 and see if I'm there talking to you. But again, the focus is Las Vegas tonight. Come on, talk to me. I want to know if you like us in the city at all. If not, I'm going to stay anyway. Get on the telephone. Well, Emmett, I'm calling to say how great it will be to have Vegas here for your birthday. Now, there may be enough of them come here that will convince me to go up and have a service there. West Los Angeles. Yes, 25 is still carrying you, and the reception is pretty good. Okay. Las Vegas, I know I'm on 25 up there. It's an act of faith to get up that early in the morning, but I'm reconfirming my reservation. That's what I teach is faith. Las Vegas says, every time I look at you now, all I can think of is Russian cows. I should play that again. That's funny. This person is getting it, or already had it, Lakewood, California. Thank you, Dr. Scott, for the excellent message this morning at the cathedral and for continuing to prove that it was Christ's faith through his life, death, and resurrection that provided a new law of faith and not works for our salvation. They're getting it. Las Vegas, my name is, and he gives it, I'd like to reserve a seat on the bus. Okay. Las Vegas, I'd love to come to the cathedral. I want to make a reservation for myself, okay? Las Vegas, I used to listen to you in the mid-80s. I'm a bookie in San Francisco. Okay. Are you tithing? Moved to Las Vegas. My wife found you on Channel 14. I listened to you ever since. You gave me profound influence. I got faith I didn't have before. So many things make so much sense now. That's nice. In Boise, Idaho, I enjoy listening to tonight's program. Glad to hear all the calls from Washington and Nashville. We're hoping to make it, but we're not sure yet, unless, of course, you want to send a bus, too. I was born in Idaho, and I used to ride with my parents driving from Idaho. I was born in Buell. Driving from Idaho to California in a Model A, so you ought to be able to make it from Boise, Idaho. Some of you from Las Vegas, just get in your car and tail the bus. That'll probably keep you from speeding. You can drive a car and come down to that special day. You don't have to ride in the bus. Buy your own gas that way. Come on now. Get on the telephone. There's only a few minutes left. I think I'm going to do something in about a minute or two after this song. I'm going to play George Putnam. That'll wake you up. But now get on the telephone. Doc, I'm watching on 25 in Las Vegas. I had a friend tell me, if you're going to lose, this is the place to be. Well, if you're going to win, this is the guy to listen to. Las Vegas. I'm new to the area. I came here from Michigan. You're the most interesting guy I've seen in a long time. I don't know what your show is about, but I think I'm going to stick around and find out. Okay? What you see is what you get. That's what it's about. Las Vegas. Please call me about the bus. I want to come to the cathedral. Las Vegas. I want to come to the cathedral on the 10th on the bus. Give me his name and all the data. Las Vegas. Back when you bought that building, I started listening. I'm from Texas, but I moved to Las Vegas. I'm a Baptist minister, and I'm pastoring in Las Vegas. Good for you. Las Vegas. I want you to know you're coming in loud and clear on Channel 25 in Las Vegas. I work right below the Channel 25 transmitter. Well, then you better make sure it's on when I'm on. Las Vegas, I'm enjoying the program here. I can't make the trip, but I tape you and watch when I get home from work. All right, we're taking reservations until August. I'm rather July 23rd. That's this coming Wednesday. And after the 23rd, reservations close for the buses, and then we'll begin calling you. Or you can still make reservations even when we're not live in Las Vegas. Write the number down. And if you want to make the bus trip on my birthday Sunday, August 10th, visit the cathedral. I think we'll have to have at least two Bible tours to divide the people up. You'll have a good time. The bus is free. Bring your own food. It's like the airlines now. You know, that's one of the smartest things airlines have done, because anything you carry on is better than airline food. But bring your own food, bring your own bottle of water. And then we're going to go out with this song. I've been here for 3 hours and 2 hours this morning. I'm going to bed. You folks in Las Vegas, it's an hour later, so you ought to go to bed. Same time in Las Vegas? Okay, then let's all go to bed together. Get on the telephone.